Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR.
Dr. Stanley, Sports in Depth!
This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together.
Anything that started,
this Christmas,
ill fated. Dear Lord, John Coltrane, dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your way. Let your will be our will. More importantly, Lord, thank you for little things we still largely thank you. Lord, we thank you for blessings forthcoming, blessings that have come all unmerited. Like that man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue fence. We thank you for all things, O Lord. As you bless our family here in America, the Panels family, our family and principles. But more importantly, Lord, thank you for being our God. And we ask these blessings, all the blessings, in your darling son Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Trust in God Network. You say, Doc, I know we remember SAR-FM Radio. Well, it was a beginning point that led us to Blake Radio. But it was SAR-FM Radio in the heart of Harlem. And me and Dusty put it together there. We started something that grew. And Dusty... is that Dusty riding up? Hold on. There he is. Yeah, and we're looking for Mel Cosell. Sure Shot Mel. As you know, we can show this Dead-Eye Dusty. Sure Shot Mel. Double Barrel. Harold. Let me join us. And Dusty, you know, we look back at that SAR-FM radio thing as we're using the Larry Hardy intro to kind of remember. And, you know, I remember, man, you put that Latin show together. But, you know, I used to break it into sports.
Yeah, but you were the door opener. You knocked down the hinges and you brought me in on the Sports in Depth and the sports show. And then I sort of got a little uppity. And
I was going to say that. You got too big for your bridges. No, you know what? Thanks so much for the kind words. But, you know, you came in there, man. And not only that, man, you know, let's just talk about, you know, if we had an 11 o'clock show, Dusty was there at like 9:30. I'd get in there, man. Dusty had the notes ready, had the shit. Let's go, Doc. You know what I mean?
And, way to go.
But you know, I remember Shaka. And you know, you just can't forget the people that did help you along. Your guy hits 400.
Oh, yeah.
And his 300, 10 years old, and his 289 when you're talking about. And the thing about you, too, man, you talk about doors opening. The great thing about that great music you played anyway. I mean, because, one time you was opening on one day. You was the last show on a Friday night. But it was it was such a great venue because I could go to a Latin press conference, man, and I had to be there because I was going to do interviews on your show. I remember we did two or three Latin press conferences. You know what I mean? And then the Latin guys were like, "Dag, what station is this, man? Where's this music coming from?"
This is the heartbeat of Africa. Wow.
hey, they didn't sound like Congo drums to me. You know what I mean?
Those are some great times, man. Great times.
Is it Harold Weston coming up? Double Barrel Harold is in the house, y'all. And Melco, sure shot, Mel will be joining us. And the issues here, Doc Stanley Sports and Depth on the Trust in God Network Radio show today, sports, leg look. Couple things here. R.A. Dickey, first knuckleballer ever to win the Cy Young Award, and David Price.
That?
Yeah, and actually, you know, people don't know, me and Dusty are also lifetime members of the Internet Baseball Writers Association. And you know what's funny is that we at the IBAA picked Price and R.A. Dickey, and then all of a sudden the baseball writers happened to pick the guys, you know. Today, Cabrera. Yeah, you couldn't say. And today, Cabrera and as MVP for the American League and Buster Posey for the National League. Same guys that we picked. You know, that we picked. The only thing where they messed up at is we had, and let's talk about it, we had Davey Johnson and my good friend, my buddy Buck Showalter as American League and National League MVP managers. They had Davey Johnson, but they picked Bob Melvin of the A's as manager.
The Oakland. Because I think the Oakland A's was not expected to do anything this year, and yet they got to the playoffs, and they played the Texas Rangers pretty well. I mean, they gave
they
gave them a hard time.
I thought, but nobody thought Baltimore was going to do anything either, and the reason why Melvin won because the darn the Texas Rangers folded. I mean, if they had just won one game, they'd have won the division.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, you look at Showalter. Showalter had the battle against a better core of teams. He's fighting naked. I mean, he made that 10-game lead disappear that the Yankees had, remember?
Exactly. You know, Showalter's like a magician. I've been watching him for years, especially when he was with from the time he was with the Yankees to the present time, and he's always had some sort of a magic wand that took teams to playoffs, made them respectable, made them formidable, beat teams in an outrageous way when that 10-game first place disappeared, you know, and embarrassed the Yankees in a sense, you know. And he has that magic wand of doing things like that. But unfortunately, and I really thought Baltimore was really going to make a mark this year, would have been the team in the World Series. But unfortunately, it didn't occur. But they gave a scare to everybody. You know, and he's, you know, he's that way, you know. But, you really can't find fault with what he's doing because he always has a way of building up teams. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I thought Buck was the guy. I mean, you know, you look at the team. Baltimore hadn't had a winning season in how long. You saw his impact right last year when he came in. And sometimes you question that because, you know, they fired Doc Stanley and they bring in the senior baby Lords and the team go. They win 7 out of their next 8 games. You know what I mean? And then they hire Harold Weston and the team wins 8 games in a row. And then Doc leaves Baltimore and goes to the Yankee win. So it seems that there's always that infusion of new blood that has a way of sparking it. But he came back this year. And like I said, you know, Baltimore was 10 games back. They were 10 games back of the Yankees. And you know, they had those great series in Baltimore. You had the great series here in New York. And then they got together in the playoffs. And yeah, I just thought that Buck was the guy. I think it was, in his case, it was more of what he did to take Baltimore where they were. And I think it was more of what the Rangers didn't do. I mean, the Rangers had that division locked up. And it wasn't until they folded.
They seemed to fold.
I mean, you can't blame Bob Melvin for that. But if you look at things, and I think a lot of times too, in the case, you know, these guys play popularity contests, and a lot of guys don't like Buck Showalter. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
But it is. You know, I mean, they don't. I mean, Harold talked about that. You talked about the Larry Holmes Michael Spinks fight. Larry said something that you know he shouldn't have said, and he paid for it, Harold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Larry just thought he, you know, you know what happens with people? They think they're above the industry that they're in, and they don't realize the industry's been here before you even got here, and you're not bigger than industry, and so they lose all that credibility and everything that they had or gaining because of their mouth, and then after they realize it's too late, then it's, you know, they lose everything. Their reputation of those, you know, going to dinners and being recognized and all that, you lose all that. And that's what happens to a lot of guys. They just don't understand.
Well, do you think a lot of it was frustration on Larry Holmes because he was always downsized and criticized and he was nothing and he had to get
well,
paid.
You got to understand, you don't disrespect the people that made the industry.
Yeah,
you don't disrespect
right. yeah,
guys
yeah,
that did accomplish something. You don't
right.
do those things. You know, Larry one time was saying that Ali, he could beat Muhammad Ali. Yeah, you could beat him at the time he's old, but if you back in the day, you would never had a shot.
You know, it was funny, too. I remember him saying something, and I just thought it was, and it validates so much of what, wait a minute, here we come. Sure Shot, just throw it up. Hold on, gang. Sure Shot is in, and without further ado, he's going to introduce you to the Sports and Deaf Nation. Ladies and gentlemen, Sure Shot Mel Smith Jr.
Thank you, good doctor. The Sports and Deaf Nation is here. The Sports and Deaf panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The straw that stirs the drink is here. That is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Mooney, for such kind words. I fart this time. Okay. It's good now. Oh, you're in for real now. It's over now. Hey, you locked in now. Mooney didn't lock in. It's that time. Late night sports rap here. On the Trust in God Radio Network. Sports in Depth. They're here. Double Barrel Harold, then I Dusty Sure Shot Mel Smith Jr., and later on, Rough Rider Raymond. The issues will be Lasso. The truth will be branded, and we'll be running Rough Rider over all fallacy.
How much fun is going to be?
Doc Stanley and the Posse in the house. Thursday night. This Christmas, the best word, the only word you need to hear. We're here, and we're riding up. T.I.C. can't. You know, Harold, I remember they were talking about, in fact, I think it was a Joe Frazier documentary, and he said something. I remember that great line you read, you know, if you say something, you know, and you don't have to say something that has nothing that's pertinent, it's not. What I remember about Ray Lynn, before Tommy Hearns, he apologized. He said, you know, I said some things that I didn't have to say. And Larry said, and I said, wait a minute, man. Larry said that Muhammad Ali was somehow, listen, Harold, Dusty, Mel, Deadeye, Double Belt, said Muhammad Ali was somewhat, Harold, overrated.
That's what Larry's downfall is, because, I mean, you're talking about two great, Rocky Marciano and Muhammad Ali. Now, how much of a fool could you be?
two men that's
recognized as the greatest fighters of all time, and you're going to criticize them for what they have accomplished and what people recognize and respect about them,
and publicly, and publicly.
And my point is that Larry just didn't understand that. Okay, Larry, you're talking all this garbage. But the only reason you made it because of certain situations you was in that things has changed in the boxing world. But if you came through that ranks that other, like Joe Louis and Allies and everybody else had to come through, you wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the honest truth. Do you know who Ali had to fight to get to the world championship? Did you know who Rocky Marciano had to fight to get to the world championship?
Ezzy Charles, Jersey Joe Walcott, Archie Moore. Okay.
All right.
You know,
So when you criticize these men who really fought and sacrificed their bodies to do the same thing you're doing, but didn't get no easy task getting there, then who the hell who are you? That's a come everybody don't the boxing world did not credit Larry Holmes into the world of being one of the greatest heavyweights that ever lived. Simple as that.
You know, it's amazing. Hold on, Dusty. You know, and you hear it here, and because those who like Larry kept trying to say, well, he came along at the wrong time. He followed Muhammad Ali. Howard Weston just told you there would not have been no Larry Holmes had he come along at that time. Dusty.
Well, this is exactly. I think I'm on a repetition gauge here. But I think his outburst, I feel his outburst, and I'm not excusing him because it's ridiculous, because he was a man and he was undefeated and the Eastern Assassin, but a lot of it may have come from the frustration that he didn't get and being undefeated, the recognition that he may have felt he should have gotten, because when they made, they have made a statement, and this is where he came out with the Marciano thing. They have made a statement of Larry Holmes. Well, he still hasn't he had won a fight, and he still hasn't. I forgot the exact words. He said, "Well, you know, I'm undefeated or something like that." And this guy Marciano couldn't carry my jockstrap, and that I think came out of frustration. I mean, it doesn't excuse him. There's no justification, but he felt he was always down, and that, in fact, he was Ali's sparring partner. This is what I first saw him when Don King began to promote those heavyweight contests on those battleships, and this was the favorite. I mean, the most outstanding fighter in that tournament, and there were some good guys there, some heavyweights that were great. But when I saw this Larry Holmes, I said, my God, this guy can jam, this guy can fight, this and the other. And he worked his way through to an undefeated record, a heavyweight champ, but he was still not part of the in club, I mean, part of the elite level, and this is where his frustration come in. And I could understand why he went that way, but I still don't excuse it, because he should not have knocked down people who went through different struggles, because would he have survived a Marciano fight? I don't know. Would he have survived a Muhammad Ali, a young Muhammad Ali contest? He was his sparring partner. I don't know. But because when he did beat Ali, Ali was already on his way down, so it was not an even contest. And I remember that, I felt sorry for Ali because Larry Holmes kept telling the referee, stop it, I don't want to hit him anymore. But still and all, he let his mouth go in front of him instead of using a little common sense,
Can I get in on this, Dustin and crew, because Ali was my guy, so I really got to get on. Doc and Doc, you, Dusty, Harold, correct me if I'm wrong, but to the, because I think you gentlemen may be a little bit older than me, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember Ali ever ducking anybody, okay? To the best of my knowledge, he never ducked anyone, okay? Larry Holmes, as great as Larry was, I remember Larry Holmes making the IBF when, I forgot, WBA or WBC, gentlemen, correct me, whoever it was. At the time, he didn't want to fight and wound up going over to the IBF and carrying their banner and basically making the IBF because he didn't want to fight a big, young, hungry, undefeated Greg Page.
Well, I think it was more political than not wanting to fight it. I think he felt he had a better chance with that alphabet part of the one he took than
Greg Page. But he made the IBF. When he went over and refused to fight Page, WBC mandatory out, he went over to the IBF and basically made them.
Yeah, I mean that. That's the silliness of the game of our sports. You can drop out of being champion and go somewhere and develop another so-called champion again. My point is that. That's not the way the structure of it is. You fight the world champion, whoever's the world champion, win the world championship. That's what makes Ali and Rocky Marciano world champions, because that's what they think. They fought world champion. Not that Rock, he had his moments too, but Rock had to fight some tough guys too, coming up the way he had to come up. And my thing is about Larry had an easy touch, so Don King was feeding him to make a fans as he was moving the guy up to the top 10 and all that. Yeah. So, I'm a little stupid about that, but if you look at Muhammad Ali's range of how he got to the title, who he fought, you understand. He said, damn. He fought all them guys who fought for the title. When he got to the title, who was there?
Sonny Liston.
Yeah. Sonny Liston was the animal that nobody wanted to fight. Underneath that, but before Sonny Liston, he fought all them animals like Cleveland Williams.
A lot of animals. I mean, we talking about top 10 heavyweights.
A freaking zoo
real
of heavyweights,
top 10
right.
heavyweights.
And then you know what? And then after being listed twice, you know, Ali didn't duck nobody. Called Milvenberger.
No, he didn't duck nobody after that. No.
You know, Floyd Patterson, come one, come all. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Trust in God Network, Radio Network, and it is a late night sports rap. They're here. Dead Eye Dusty, Sure Shot Mel Smith Jr., and Double Barrel Harrow. Cy Young Award winners were announced. David Price of the Blue Jays, of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and R.A. Dickey of the New York Mets, first knuckleball pitcher ever to win the Cy Young Award. I mean, the guy had to win it. 20 wins, 230 strikeouts, would led the league in complete games in ERA. And you look at Dickey and Price, and in today's structure of baseball, 20 wins is really a big feat.
A rarity.
Dusty, I mean, because we're looking at, okay, here's Justino Lois. He's up 3-1. It's in the sixth inning. He's gone 5 2/3. Now he goes 6 1/3. He threw 102 pitches. We take Dusty out. Dusty got a 3-1 lead. 6 1/3 innings.
Pitch count.
A nine strikeouts. He's got a 3-1 lead. He looks good. Here comes Doc. Doc holds it down for the seventh. Doc comes back for the eighth. Boom. Here's a run. It's 3-2. Okay. Now we bring in Rooney. Boom. It's three. I mean, you know, you leave a game like that, and unless you're up 10-1, there's a good shot. You know, you're not going to, you know, you may not get it. I mean, how many games did CC last year? I remember a game CC. You're pitching once every fifth day. Okay. Like the first playoff game that CC won. 8 2/3. Why did you take him out with 1/3 of an inning left? 8 2/3 innings. Why are you taking him out for one out?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, it's like, you know, okay, you know what? Doc's went 8 2/3. No, 8 innings. I'm going to take Doc out. He's only 87 pitches, which is bullcrap anyway, but I'm going to bring Harold in. Harold gets the save. I mean, you know, like I said, 20 wins is going to be hard. Gentlemen, nobody is going to win 300 games again unless they change the structure of baseball. Nobody. Randy Johnson is the last 300 winner in history of baseball. The MVPs, Miguel Cabrera. Who the heck else could it be? Guy won the Triple Crown. And also Buster Posey. Then you got the thing about the Posey thing, you know, is that had Cabrera not consented to being taken out of the batting race, Cabrera would have won the batting title. You know what I mean? Miguel Cabrera would have won the batting title. Other things we'll talk about, I have a shot there, too, of Oscar Robertson and Jerry West. As you talk basketball, we'll get the Knicks scores for you, too. Knicks played tonight and the Nets played tonight. Knicks trying to stay undefeated. They were trailing at halftime by 2. Against the San Antonio Spurs, and the Brooklyn Nets were up by 2 at halftime in their game. So we'll get that score for you as Sports in Depth will bring you the latest on that. Let's again looking at the pitchers across the line. R.A. Dickey, MVP, Miguel Cabrera, Dickey Cy Young Award winner, as is David Price, a shot there of Oscar Robertson. And also the issue that we're going to look at, and, you know, I take my hat off to Rex Ryan, and Larry Hardesty said it, And Harold, no, I know you would have said it too. These comments about Tim Tebow coming from his teammates, and I don't know the Sean King thing, but you know it was
a soap opera.
Well, not you know, Rex Ryan said something. You know, he said it was cowardly. I mean, you know, it was just straight up. How do you sit there? And that's another thing, Harold, that comes from our era, man. You know what I mean? If you're going to say something, you're going to stand behind it. If I give you my word, I'll be there at 3:30. Or you know what? Hey, man, let me hold the $75. I have it for you next Friday. Or you know what? Your word means something. And this is something that I saluted Ryan about. And Tebow said something. This shows you what this guy is about, man. This guy, after hearing that, he said, you know what? Then I've got to have better relationships with my teammates. And that, to me, shows the class and character. I remember... I'm saying it again. When me and Joe Klecko talked about this earlier this year, and I interviewed Joe, I found a gentleman, and I said, you know, here's a guy that everybody's talking about. I said, this guy, first of all, took his team to the playoffs. They were 8-8, just like the Jets. Okay. He won his division, 8-8, just like the Jets, and he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, something that the Jets haven't done under Mark Sanchez yet, or under Rex Ryan. But Krakow said something else more important. He said, you know what? He says, not only that, but the guy brings some credibility here. And a lot of this problem with Tebow is because this guy has professed to be a Christian. It's, our society is really funny. If you're atheist, if you're Muslim, if you're Dalai Lama, you know, it's all right. You know, this is a country of religious freedom. But when you say you're Christian, somehow there's a target on your back. And, you know, I mean, this guy, to say that I have to have better relations with my teammate, just so, you know, I mean, you know, they're right. He shouldn't be on this team because these guys don't deserve to have that kind of teammate. This guy has not been allowed to play. This guy has played out of position. This guy has not squawked one time about being used and abused. And these guys are backstabbing him in the back. You know, straight up, compromiso, chochas. And those who speak Spanish know what I'm talking about. I mean, in the words of Harold Weston, sad and touching. That you're going to dog this guy. And Rooney had a great line. Who on the Jets can stand up and show any kind of credibility? Not the special teams, not the defense, not the offense. Who can? Sperano. Who on the Jets can sit there and say, hey, you know, I've been doing mine?
Yeah, well, you see, that cancer has been coming around in the Jets from last year or maybe the year before, and it's been festering like a sore. And something should have been done last season to quell this from getting into this season. And the fact of the matter, you know, there's a lot of blame to be issued out. There's a lot of dirty hands.
There's a lot of blame to go around, Dusty?
That's right. A lot of blame to go around. A lot of dirty hands in this business, you know. And
you know
the fact
the culture, but you know what, Dusty? But now they can't blame San Antonio Holmes. Because San Antonio last year supposed to have been this cancer, supposed to have been this problem. And a lot of the guys, Dusty, ain't there from last year. So, I mean,
this is what I'm saying. It's a carryover.
Wow.
I mean, the guys are left, but they left the poison in the locker room. And the poison in the locker room has been picked up by other dudes, you know. And it should have been management starting with the executive office to the coach and says, hey, this shit's got to stop, man. Team meetings or managers meetings, what's all this BS?
According to Rex Ryan, the team is closer than ever before. They're going to work it out. But here's the big thing, you know, and it said in Cincinnati.
That's what he says.
Yeah. Well, it was a rough ride of Ramsey being a little while. There's two things here. He said, according to that, he was for the Tebow trade, but it was understood that Sanchez was going to be the number one quarterback. And now it's rumored, which we will get this thing settled when Cincinnati or Rough Rider Ramirez. You know, Woody Johnson wanted Tebow. Johnson owns the team. He's the guy. We had a story on the blog. Those of you who check the blog, Doc Stanley, sportsindepth, blogspot.com.br. Once again, Doc Stanley, sportsindepth, blogspot.com.br. Had a story there, as well as Doc Stanley Sports, my site for the Trust in God Sports and Interfaith Hall of Fame. And you know, it was a thing where Woody, as a story that I put on the blog, was more concerned about defeating Obama as he was head of the Romney committee here. So right away, Rooney, we knew he was heading in the wrong direction. You know what I mean?
Well, he was heading in the wrong direction when he brought Tebow here. So he's still in the wrong direction.
Well,
I'm saying to you is bad enough that they brought Tebow here, but it's even worse. And this is strictly my opinion. You guys stand. You can correct me if you want to debate it with me. In to bring him here as the backup quarterback, as I understood, but then to change his resume and make him a running back and a tight and defense.
Dusty,
offense,
I'm not going to tell you again. Quit agreeing with me, okay? I just said, but Dusty, that's what I'm saying, Dusty. How could these guys? I mean, here you are, Justina Lewis, all-star shortstop. Harold Weston, all-star second baseman. But you know what? Harold said, I'll play left field, and Dusty said, I'll play first base if it's for the betterment of the team. And now we're going to say Harold and Dusty are the reason why we're losing. Howell is playing. Howell is in left field. Okay, Howell's playing left field, leading the league in hitting. Dusty is leading the league in home runs at first base, but they're hurting the team. They're hurting all-star gold glovers. They're hurting the team. Here's a guy who is, like you said, Dusty. I mean, listen, they had this guy on the punt return team, man.
Exactly.
They had the guy on the punt return team.
And then you have several times this has happened to. So here, Sanchez is on a drive, first down, for a third and two. This, you know, they take out Sanchez, and in comes Tebow. I mean, where is the common sense?
And not only that, Dusty, what you have told the defense now is third and two. We don't know if they're going to run the ball. Hiccup Tebow, they're going to run the ball. We know what they're going to do now. Dusty.
Yeah,
we know what they're going to do now. And I tell you what I got to do now.
At one time, Tebow threw into an interception. And I'm saying, my God, what is wrong with these people? He threw into an interception when it was third and one or something. I forgot what it wasn't last week's slaughter. It was the previous week's slaughter.
Dusty, you said it wasn't last week's slaughter. It was
the
previous week's
slaughter. Yeah, and he threw right into an interception when Sanchez was on the drive, and I'm saying, what are the thinking of these people, man?
When Tebow first got here, Dust, when Tebow and Howell and let me tell you something, when Tebow when
hold
oh,
on again.
Got another one of the Rough Riders. Oh, okay,
yeah, he's coming up.
He's
usually Cincinnati C, but today, tonight, we make him Rough Rider Raymond. You're just on time. We're talking football. You've heard us. We're talking the situation with Tebow. We're talking this backstabbing, which we talked about earlier yesterday on our weekday show. What's happening here? Woody Johnson.
I'm glad she's coming, Doc, because I want him to hear this, too. He has perfect timing. I was going to say, Doc, and I'm glad she's perfect timing as usual, see. Mm-hmm. What Rex should have done the first day that Tebow got here was address the team as a team, walked on the field with the entire team, and then addressed each and one, every one of those players in his office, one by one, individually, and said, look, Tim Tebow is now a member of this team. I don't care about your personal feelings. Our job is to make it work. He will be a help to this team and not a detriment. I want you to do this in regard to helping to make it work with Tebow. I want him to be a help with Mark Sanchez or whatever the case may be to help them make it work. He should have addressed them, number one, as a team, welcomed Tim Tebow and whoever else they would have just gotten, and called them in this office one by one by one by one and said, we're going to find a way to make it work. It's a simple, I don't care about your personal feelings, whether you wanted him here or not. He's here now. He's a member of this team. Make it work. Simple as that.
It's easier said than done when you have, mm-hmm. what was it, 52 men on a roster at the beginning when there's tryouts and workouts. And as much as he likes to talk, I know Rex Ryan was not about to give 52 individual speeches.
Well, you know what?
If I'm the head guy, okay, this is not a democracy, okay? There are two things to be said, okay? Number one, I'm the boss. Number two, make it work. This is not a democracy.
You got a point well taken, okay? I think Ryan is thinking this. I got 52 guys. This is going to work out. I'm not going to talk to a whole bunch of guys that are not going to be here anyway. So let me get rid of the guys that are not going to be here. So when I make this speech, instead of talking to 52 guys, I can talk to 47 guys. Then as time goes along, it'll work out. There'll be guys who'll side and won't side. Okay? So now what I'll do...
If you're on my team, you can hear me talk. Who is the coach of this team, Doc?
No, Ronnie, I'm just saying, Rex is thinking, why tell everybody when everybody ain't going to be here? So I'm going to deal with who's here. And then by that time, I'll know who's
pro and
who's safe.
I'm talking about the people who are here, Doc. I'm not talking about the people who aren't here. I'm talking about the people who are going to be part of this team.
Well, yeah, but you got to understand, when you start, Rooney, all those guys aren't going to make the team.
Well,
so
Doc, you know this.
It.
I'm talking about the people who have already on the team who I'm going into the season with.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I have to agree with Rooney
Good
there.
Point. Gentlemen, let's back off and let's let Mr. Raymonds have his say.
Good evening, gentlemen, panel.
Hey, cut to the chase and clear the air. Okay, cut it out.
First of all, this is a team that is in such disarray.
Tell us something we don't know.
There seems to be no leadership or defined leadership, even though we have leaders in place. Woody Johnson gave a press conference. I mean, how many owners around the NFL do you see doing things like this or having to do things like this where a coach has seemed to have lost control of the team? I mean, you'll never see Belichick do that. You won't see Tom Coughlin doing that. I mean, you had the one where the kicker dumped, who was that? Who was that he dumped into the water? And put it on Twitter or YouTube.
Coughlin did. The kicker tweeted it, but it was Prince, the cornerback, that got dumped into the pool, into the tub.
Right, it was Mukamara.
JPP, and the kicker was the one. In fact, is that kicker still on the team?
He's still there, but Tom Coughlin, he put a stop to it. The kicker that's still on the team is the one that he told to kick that ball away from DeSean Jackson, and he kicked it right to him.
And lost the game.
And they lost a chance to go to the postseason that year.
And I think that kicker lost his job with the Giants, too.
Oh, yeah, they got rid of him. He wasn't.
As Rooney said, a point well taken. Continue, CC.
But right now the Jets need to concentrate on playing, executing, and becoming successful, because this game here, the stats against the St. Louis Rams, the Rams lead the series 9-3. The Jets only won 1970. Jets 31-20 against LA Rams at the time. 1983, the Jets 27-24. And they haven't beaten the Rams since until from 1983 to 2008 when they beat them 47-3. So they've only beat them one time since the L.A. Rams became the St. Louis Rams. So they lead the series 9-3. It looks like it may be 10-3 if they continue this nonsense. It's time to let it go. Let it go and play. You have to concentrate on winning games. All this back and forth, backstabbing, anonymous quotes and all this other nonsense, it goes to show you where some of the people, I'm not going to say all of them, in the locker room have their priorities.
Didn't Sean Green have a press conference today, too?
I can't tell you that.
Supposedly he was misquoted. He had a press conference today. I probably checked the notes. So it was a situation. Now, all of a sudden, he said he was misquoted. The writer said he wasn't misquoted. Well, we know how writers go. So, I mean, it's press, you know, it's press conferences about everything but football games lately.
Misquoted or not misquoted. Why is he yapping anyway? How about, listen, tell me something about the people on this team. How about a little less yak and a little more play? How about that?
But, you know, you have to understand something about being quoted and misquoted. I segue back to the future. We really ran Willie Randolph. It was superly criticized of being inept, and the Mets are not winning anything, and they're not doing anything. And one reporter says, "Well, you know, you get beat up and all that, Willie. I mean, might that be perhaps a little bit biased?" And Willie Randolph thinks about it and says, "Well, maybe it is. I'm not sure." That's what his answer was. The next day, for God's sake, you have headlines. Willie Randolph cries racism in the Met organization.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so,
I don't think it's a thing of being misquoted. I think the Jets have opened themselves to this type of scrutiny, criticism,
and because of all the fumbles and numbers,
And the point you bring up, too, now, because the Jets, you know, anything you write now is not about football, so you got to find something else. So
it's about the squabbles. It's about the squabbles.
Yeah,
it's like the OJ trial. It was not about the killings of the two people that were killed. It was about the judge's wife, the cop with his racist past. It was about the judge, what he did in fifth grade. It was a circus. And now,
everybody had a play.
We're in the fall season. We're in the football season, but it's starting to feel a little bit like early March. I know you guys, how do you mean early March? Because that's when the circus comes into town.
Hold on, hold tight. Oh, you ain't thought here. Real quick commercial here for you. Study Hall, formerly Block Talk Radio's 101 Study Hall, is an interactive question-answer session brought to you by Block Talk Radio University to answer general host questions. It's geared to both new and veteran hosts. Join us live every Wednesday for question answers, including visual demonstrations, or listen to the archived audio recordings at your leisure. Once again, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Study Hall, formerly Blog Talk Radio's 101 Study Hall, is an interactive question and answer session brought to you by Blog Talk Radio University to answer general host questions. It's geared to both new and veteran hosts. Join us live every Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio for question and answers, including visual demonstrations, or listen to the archive for audio recording. Once again, Study Hall, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Trust in God Radio Network. We'll be right back after Donnie Hathaway has this to say. And I got this to say. Sports in Depth. Brought to you by iPlace Barbershop from the Bronx, located 21875th Street, Panama. 917-751-3393. Give a call. Get a cut. You won't be sorry. And you tell the doc sent you. Hey, you get 15% off. Just real quickly, as you know, R.A. Dickey and David Price, Cy Young Award winners, and the International Baseball Writers of America, we tagged those two guys, and the tagged two guys who won the MVP, Buster Posey of the San Francisco Giants, the world champion San Francisco Giants, and Miguel Cabrera, the Cy Young Award winner, Triple Crown winner, first man to win the Triple Crown since 1967 when Carl Yastrzemski won the MVP and the Triple Crown. And in 1966, the year before, Frank Robinson won the Triple Crown, became the first and only African-American to ever win the Triple Crown. And two facts there, his batting average, .316, was the lowest ever for a Triple Crown winner, but his 42 home runs was the most ever by a Triple Crown winner. And Cabrera surpassed that this year. So he has the most home runs ever by a right-handed Triple Crown winner. And he also was the MVP winner. Buster Posey and Miguel Cabrera is the first time since 1954 when you had both batting champions face each other in a World Series. 1954 was Willie Mays of the New York Giants and Bobby Avila of the Cleveland Indians. But Posey and Cabrera became the first set of batting champions to homer in the same World Series in baseball history. So some history was done once again. Cy Young Award winner, we knew, R.A. Dickey, first knuckleballer ever to win the Cy Young, led the league in wins, 20, led the league in strikeouts, 230, ERA and complete games. David Price, a 20-game winner, 20-5 for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown winner. And so we had both MVP winners, batting champions, and both were in the World Series. And the San Francisco Giants copped another World Series. Hello, Roberto Kelly, my good friend from Panama, and Dave Righetti. Also showed there, I'm going to do a little background music for that real quickly. I talked just briefly in our photos. You know, I always have the photos there. And I have a picture of Oscar Robertson and Jerry West. Oscar Robertson and Jerry West, when they retired from basketball, Oscar Robertson was the second highest scorer in the history of NBA basketball, 25.7 scoring average, okay? And yet he was number one all-time in assists. Jerry West, when he retired, had a 27.7 scoring average, making that the highest scoring average ever by a guard in professional NBA basketball history. And the point that I'm making here, too, is that Oscar Robertson and Jerry West were All-American forwards in college. So I don't buy this power forward, small forward, point guard, shooting guard. They were basketball players. And Oscar, as you know, was a three-time college player of the year, every year in college. When he came out of college, he was the all-time leading scorer in the history of collegiate basketball. He averaged 33 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists a game, which for all intents and purposes meant he averaged a triple-double from a forward spot. He was the number one player drafted, and him and Jerry West were 1 and 2. And when they retired from basketball, they were considered the greatest duo of guards of all time. They were 1 and 2 all time. I remember the great line from the great Jerry West, who wore number 44. Zeke from Cabin Creek was his name. For those historically, West Virginia got that name because they were the part of Virginia, the western part of Virginia, that would not secede from the Union during the Civil War. So they said, okay, you know what? You know what? There you go. You're West Virginia. Jerry West said something I'll never forget. All-Star Game, East-West All-Star Game. Oscar's with the Milwaukee Bucks now, so he was part of the West. And Jerry West hit a jump shot to win the game. And they called Jerry West over. After, hey, Jerry, great shot. What was the key to that play? And I never forget the look on Jerry West's face. He said, you know, all we were trying to do was get the ball to Oscar. That's something. The superior player among the greatest players ever played the game. The great Jerry said, all we were trying to do was get the ball to Oscar. Oscar Palmer Robertson and Jerry West, and they are two of the greatest players ever played. There's nobody today that they would be a second fiddle to. When they retired from basketball, 27.7 points a game is what Jerry West averaged, 25.7 points a game with Oscar Robertson average, and he didn't average 20 points in the last 3 years of career, and he's the only guy ever to have a triple-double season. And had they counted assists in his day the way they do now, he'd had 5 or 6 in a row. Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, two of the greatest players ever played, and if you tell me that's my all-time backcourt, I can live with it. You're talking 50-something points. Bob Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. We're back to football, Sea Wings. That's been, you know, it's been sad and touching that Harold Weston was. Harold, your reflection, Harold. I mean, you're in the show. Two things, Harold, I want to come at you. This misquote, because you're one of the few writers that had the New York Times come and do a story on you. Did you ever have a problem of being misquoted, Harold?
No, because I always told the truth.
Whoa. Now, also, I think it showed the respect factor that the writers had for you. Now, your thoughts on this backstabbing, all this stuff about, you know, these guys talking about a teammate like this, Harold?
Well, I think that basically a lot of guys need to just keep their mouths shut. If you don't have nothing good to say about your teammate, don't say nothing at all. I just think that what has happened to people, everybody know how Ali made himself in the world and how people recognize and respect him. So since the Ali, you know, trend came about and Ali, you know, you make yourself very popular. If you can, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk. But a lot of these guys can't walk the walk and talk the talk. They don't know that it's a repercussion come behind talking so much, especially if you don't have it in the right tone and have the right backing when you talk it. And so basically these guys, they get out there and start running their mouth, and then all of a sudden they realize they're in a trap. And when they get in the trap, they don't know how to get out of it. And then they bury themselves. And that's what the problem with a lot of these athletes today. And they don't know, they don't get their history together. They don't learn about certain issues of things. They just don't go into it. They just go by what they feel and say what they feel, and that's what it gets them jammed up and everything. When you're dealing with, especially in New York, is one thing. That's the reason why I'm glad I was born here, raised here, and was taught everything. I was taught how to deal with the media. I was taught when to say something and when not to say something. And then I was taught if you don't have something good to say about somebody that is popular, don't say nothing at all. And it got
Can I get
in
on this? Can I get in on this?
Yeah.
Let me say this, okay? I'm sorry, Dust. Let me say this quickly. All right.
No, go ahead.
Hey, Doc. You know something to me? Like the great Howard Weston just said, all these guys need to shut up, okay? Shut up. And the reason why is, if you, for my money, the only one on that team who's played any kind of outstanding ball consistently is Revis. And he's been hurt for most of the season. The rest of these guys haven't been standouts of anything. They haven't stepped their game up, okay?
Right.
They haven't stood out. So for them to be pointing fingers at anybody else when you haven't been as good as mediocre is a disgrace. How about you stop with the quotes and concentrate on playing some football and not being embarrassed every week? How about that?
Right. I remember I asked my father, you know, and this is what he told me. Because, you know, when I was getting decisions taken from me, he said, don't worry about it. And then when things started happening, I started turning things around. I said, well, why are they not writing about me in a magazine? He said, don't worry about it. You keep doing what you're doing, and then they'll start working. They'll be writing all about you. They won't have no choice but to talk about you. And you know what? They were right.
Well, I have to agree. You know what it is? These guys, they're talking a talk, not the talk, and they're not walking the walk.
Right.
They walk, but they're not walking the walk. And they have to understand, they weren't signed to the team. They weren't drafted because of their ability to give a press conference. They were drafted for their ability to play, and that's what they need to concentrate on, play and win the game. Like
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying do what you got to do and accomplish what you came here to do. And then after it's all said and done, then you can talk. But until you do that, there's nothing to say. It's just like Mark Sanchez said, he said, I don't want to talk to Joe Namath. Joe Namath can't tell me nothing. Joe Namath is retired. That was the worst thing Mark Sanchez could have said. Okay? He should have just had respect and say, I'll be pleased if Mr. Namath would talk to me. I would
really
listen to him. Even if you don't listen to him, the respect.
Just the respect of that. And Harold, if anybody in this world could use a quarterback coach, it's Sanchez of all people. Take my word for that.
And you know, the thing my mother always said, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. I mean, you would not say, I don't need to hear anything from Joe Namath. Here's the first guy to throw for 4,000 yards in a season, the first guy to win a Super Bowl as an AFL team, okay.
Say it right. He said, I predict we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Harold, I was going to get there, but you're right.
You look too slow,
hey,
Mel. No, we got to say the same little fast. We're here from New York.
Hey, Harold. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you what people don't understand. I knew the Jets were going to be bald. And they said that after the Jets were watching the film of the Baltimore Colts, that at about Wednesday they had to stop watching the films because they were becoming too confident. They knew for sure they were going to beat the Baltimore Colts. And Joe said, "Hey man, Joe said, you know what? Not am I sure? You're right, Harold. I guarantee you. You know, it's real quickly. You know, while we're doing some football, we got Cincinnati. Actually, tonight he's Rough Rider. See, let's do some quick looking here. We got the Texans 8-1, and the Falcons are 8-1. They're finally at the top. They, you know, last week, Sea Wings, they beat the Bears. Are they for real, in your opinion?
I think they're serious contenders, the Texans. All the pieces are coming together there in the team. Both the defense and the offense are playing like they should, like a professional football team should be playing, and it's resulting and very successful wins. I mean, and especially under those conditions up in Chicago. I mean, that
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, it's
raining. I mean,
yeah.
years ago, you can say the Jets would beat Miami when they came to play the Jets late on in the year. You can't even say that anymore. That's how bad the Jets are playing now.
The Falcons, they lost, but the game was there to be won. Are they the 8-1? Are they legitimate?
Don't go to sleep.
That's all.
I'm not sold on the Falcons. They're getting the wins. They're getting it done, but. They remind me of the older Colts earlier in Peyton Manning's career when they used to win throughout the season. I'm talking about in the early 2000s. They would put up all these numbers, and when it came to the postseason, they would fizzle out like a candle with no oxygen to burn.
Okay, let's look at this.
My thing, when I look at the Falcons, I look at a young team that got very ambitious, and that if you sleep on them, They can take you apart. And I think that's what has happened to a lot of teams. They really didn't think the Falcons had it.
Underestimated.
And now they're 8-1.
Yeah.
You can sleep on them young boys if you want to, but I bet you they're going to put them points on the board. That's something that the Jets cannot do with what Atlanta can do. They can put points on the board.
And Harold, the bottom line is they're 8-1. You know what I mean?
And they're 8-1.
They're 8-1. Yeah, I mean, at worst, they are assured of a 500 season.
Oh, yeah, please.
Definitely.
The Sea Wings, okay, you talked about the Bears, and you know, but, you know, they were at home last week, and the bad field that they played on, the opposition played on the bad field, too. So, you know, at home, they should be used to what happened to them.
I mean, I think it was poor decision-making. You know, it was tough conditions. I mean, any team, the best of teams, you look at the Giants, they've always struggled in November. But, you know, they have a future Hall of Fame coach. They have a good team. They seem to have turned it around from the last couple of years that the Bears have, you know, fizzled out. They were saying, you know, the Bears are going to be this. They're going to be this. They're going to make the postseason. They're going to go all the way to the Super Bowl, and they all fizzled out. But I think this Bears team now, and they've turned things around, and they're going to be a serious contender. I put them in the top five teams.
Yeah, they're never going to. Okay, the Ravens. They got no Ray Lewis. Big game last week, 55 points. They're 7-2. And, you know, if they can survive a challenging schedule the rest of the way, they're going to wind up winning that AFC North title again quite easily there, Seawings.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I don't see them going to the Super Bowl. They offensively, I mean, they play the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders are not a run-of-the-mill team there either. So I think they needed that win, but I don't see them going to the Super Bowl. I just don't see it happening.
I think they're going to beat the Steelers on Sunday.
Well, the Steelers have a problem because they don't have big
They ain't got no quarterback.
Roethlisberger is out with a bad shoulder, I think, I believe. But,
his shoulder's out.
Well, this guy Flacco seems to be come around after all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be, because most of the time that the losses I saw, the losses were Flacco screw-ups. I mean, interceptions.
Using Rooney's line, a point well taken there, Dusty, a point well taken.
But I have to jump in there with that. Except they played the Jets.
Did you have to bring that up?
I mean that's why you see Sanchez flinching when he knows he's going to take that
you
hit.
You know what? We were at that game, that was the beginning of him feeling the effects, but it was also the residue of what you have constantly said. And what Mel has constantly said is the constant deletion of the personnel that he needed, the constant deletion of the cushion that he had, the constant deletion of the people around him that allowed him to progress and learn. When they were deleted, I mean, they ran roughshod. I mean, they ran roughshod over. I remember he fumbled the ball for a touchdown. We got the kickoff return to put us right back in the football game. They said, hold on, Mark, we'll be right back. Bam. Now, you know, talking about quarterbacks. Talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't see San Francisco 6-2, 6-2-1. I don't see him being an elite team. I don't see them having C Wings, a really quality quarterback, either one of those guys they got there.
Well,
I mean,
go ahead.
Who the back? Believe it or not, the backup quarterback, Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I think he's better than Alex Smith. I mean, when they played the Jets, I mean, not only the fact that they were playing the Jets, but you know when they ran the Wildcat with him. I mean, I think he did pretty well. I thought he was better than Alex Smith. I think he should be the starter.
I think anybody should start ahead of Alex Smith. I don't see all the red. I mean, all I can say is what I said when the Giants beat him. Okay, the Giants they had 14 first downs, and they only got 3 points, and they didn't get a third down at all in the championship game last year. Not a third down at all.
Yeah, I think the team last year was better than this team this year. At least they played very well last year. I mean, the Giants almost lost that game.
Yeah,
they dominated them like they did.
It was a terrific game.
Yeah,
you know that
it was nip and tuck. If it happened for that fumble.
Yeah, that's true gridiron football that they played last year. I mean, you can't ask for a better game.
Yeah.
I can see a team like Green Bay going far. I mean, they're not making a lot of noise, but I still think they're one of the top five teams. New England, of course, but they have their problems. New England have their problems as well, but they've been outscoring their opponents. They barely beat the Buffalo Bills. So what was it, 37-31? So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they have their Achilles heel exposed as well, too. So, but they seem to keep getting it done. They're at the top of the division. And the Jets better win this game because they have to turn. They have a quick turnaround. It's not like they have a turnaround to play the Cleveland Browns or the Kansas City Chiefs. They have to play New England again at home.
You know what I see about Sanchez. I'm gonna say this. I think Sanchez is really afraid to get hit. And every time when he's getting ready to throw that ball, if he don't see a man open real quick. And that defense starting to pound those offenses down, he fumbles and he starts to really folds up. And that's how come he can never really throw a complete pass a lot of times. I mean, my whole thing with him, I do not feel confidence when he throws the ball. Like, in fact, when I look at other players like Elway or the guy from New Orleans, I mean, when they get ready to throw the ball, you can pretty much sure that they zone it on target. Mark Sanchez, forget about it.
You know, it's funny you said it because he threw this long pass last week to Dustin Keller, and it wobbled. You know, he got rid of it. He had a clear lane to throw. Nobody was near him, and it still wobbled. But we're going back to that same situation that we talked about. Where the Baltimore game is just a situation that, ooh, hey, here we go, that stayed in his mind. Doc Stanley Sports in Depth on the Southern Star Radio Network. And gentlemen, still undefeated, coming back to win in San Antonio, the New York Knicks are 6-0. And the Brooklyn Nets come back and won. So on another night, both New York teams win. The Nets now, I believe that's 4 in a row for them. The Knicks are 6-0, haven't been 6-0 since, my goodness, but a comeback when they were trailing by 2 at halftime against the San Antonio Spurs, another quality team. The New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets go New York, go Brooklyn. Both teams win tonight, so the Knicks are still undefeated, and the Nets continue their winning way.
San Antonio on the road, Doc. What break up the Knicks?
All I'm going to say, don't get too high on this situation. You might get a heart attack later on.
They may lose 6 in a row.
Right. The Knicks. Hey, Sotomayor is definitely going to have to come off the bench on this current team. He's going to have to come off the bench.
But you know what? This is New York City. And
you
and
don't
they,
need Sotomayor.
I know. They may mess it up. They may, you know, it's amazing.
You don't
need him. He's going to have to come off the bench, Doc. You can't force him into the starting lineup and break up what seems to be really good chemistry.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it ain't broke, don't. I agree with you. Gentlemen, real quick, let's get back to football and we'll get back to that. The Patriots are 6-3. the Giants. The question here that came up is, you know, Eli Manning hasn't thrown a touchdown pass since he threw that big touchdown against RG3 in the Skins to win that game. There's some talk that his arm may look tight, defense looks gas.
They need this bye week going into this bye, Doc. They really haven't played a complete game since the San Francisco game. That's the last complete game that I saw those guys play. After that, they seem like they've been content to just roll the balls out on the field. Everybody else was supposed to say, well, my goodness, the Giants are here. Well, this game is definitely over.
Well, it's like in boxing, you know, Eli Manning has become gun-shy. And the same thing with Mark Sanchez. He's become gun-shy. Well, what do I mean by gun-shy? Sanchez's offensive line is breaking up, so as not to get hit, he's throwing the ball into interceptions. What does a veteran quarterback do when he knows he's going to get sacked? He protects the ball. He protects the ball. Sanchez is not doing that any more than Eli Manning is doing it. Eli Manning is throwing it into double coverage just to get rid of the ball so that those defensive animals stop and they don't hurt him. And that's exactly what they're both playing. I comically said, well, you know, what we need is Eli goes to the Jets and Sanchez goes to the Giants.
Because, you said that before. You know,
yeah, right.
As a guy that's a former head coach.
That, but they're both that's, bad, man. You know,
that's
both
as a guy that's a former head coach, I am surprised at the total lack of any type of offensive imagination from Sperano. He has no offensive imagination.
Yeah, but Rooney, how could you be surprised? This guy was coach of the Miami Dolphins. That's
I understand that, Doc. But by the same token, if you look at Sanchez's career with his California, okay, yeah, what up? They would roll him. I would have him throw the ball on the move. I haven't seen the guy roll out once this year. How come you don't roll him out? I mean, obviously they can't protect him in the pocket. So
Rooney, I have a question for you, Rooney.
Not doing it? Because who does he have the roll out and throw to?
Mm-hmm. But the pocket's collapsing on this guy as soon as he throws the ball anyway. That's why he's gun-shy, isn't he? Guy's scared to death of getting hit because the pocket can't protect him.
They
don't
have
the offensive line is mediocre at best.
But you have to have the common sense to scramble if the offensive line breaks. Scramble. I mean, I've seen them both of them scramble out of the pocket and fire a ball and make the connection. They're not even doing that.
When you got the pressure coming off the right like they had in the Seattle game, the protection was just breaking down. I mean, they were it was sad. And he can't scramble because you have two or three guys on you.
Coming
and
out.
His pocket has collapsed before it had even a chance.
This is amazing, too. This is amazing. You know, your the man in turnstile is not here, okay? Holmes is not here to be that cancer in the locker room that we've talked about, and Schottenheimer, who we complained about, is not here. Right about now, Rooney, those guys don't look so bad anymore.
Hey, Doc, I really have to say, I never thought I'd say this, but you are, Doc, I never thought, you never thought I'd say this, but Schottenheimer really doesn't look, Sperano, Doc, the guy has no, I don't know, I can't recall seeing a reverse, a double reverse, or what.
You can't recall it because you haven't seen it.
Doc, he has no offensive imagination whatsoever. I've never seen a reverse, a double reverse, a halfback. I haven't. Guys, no offense. I mean, it's like, okay, let's run for two. Let's run up the middle, 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Well, gentlemen, here's something to talk about. Doc Stanley Sports Depth on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, when he says, continuing football, once again, R.A. Dickey and David Price, Cy Young Award winners. No surprise, Buster Posey, catcher. Anytime a catcher leads the league in hitting, he's got a shot at the MVP, and you win the Triple Crown, unless you're Ted Williams. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Doc Stanley, a special segment here for just a little something to look at real quick, a little something to talk about, as a little something you say, well, Doc, how do you win the Triple Crown and don't win the MVP? I'll tell you how you do it. You're Ted Williams in 1947, and you win the Triple Crown, and you don't get an MVP. Twice in Ted Williams' career, he won the Triple Crown, did not get the MVP. And the year that Ted Williams hit 400, he didn't get the MVP. It can happen. It has happened. Hey, you could have asked Ted Williams. And as Harold Weston would say, sad and touching. Chocolate and amazing. Ted Williams won the Triple Crown twice and didn't get. And the year in 1942, after coming off a 406 year, he lost to the second baseman of the Yankees, Joe Gordon. And as my
Joe
late
Flash
friend.
Gordon.
Joe Flash Gordon, you know, that's right. Joe Flash Gordon, he's supposed to be a tremendous fielder.
Well, Doc, you're a baseball writer, Doc. You're in a prestigious writing fraternity. I mean, you know Ted wasn't a favorite of the writers.
But you know what?
Then, you know, he wasn't one of their great favorites.
But you know, the thing that got me was what my great friend, the late Bill Shannon, told me, that the year that Joe Flash Gordon won MVP, the only thing he led the league in was errors. Sad and touchy, Darryl. Errors. So, I mean, it's amazing. But anyway, Miguel Cabrera wins the Triple Crown. First man to win it since 1967. First Latin player to ever win the Triple Crown. The second minority player to ever win the Triple Crown. Frank Robinson was the first in 1966. 316 batting average, 42 home runs, and 126 RBIs. Cabrera becoming the second minority player and the first Latin player to ever win the Triple Crown. R.A. Dickey this year became the first knuckleball pitcher to ever win the Cy Young Award, becoming only the third Met, following the great Doc Gooden and also the legendary George Thomas Seaver. Seaver's first name is George, not Tom. He's named after his grandfather, who he told me one time nobody liked. But it's G.T. Seaver, and R.A. Dickey joins the great Dwight Doc Gooden as the only three Met pitchers ever to win the Cy Young. Seaver won it three times. 1 year with a 19-win season, joining three-time winner Steve Carlton, and also the great Danny Koufax, and also Roger Clemens. Now, Koufax, incidentally, a little did-you-know segment once again here, as I told you about Cabrera, and I told you about Ted Williams. Koufax is the last name of his stepfather. Koufax, when his mother got remarried, took the name of his stepfather. And so Koufax is the name of the husband, the second husband of his mother. And as I told you, that five-year period, Sandy Koufax averaged 27 wins, okay? 27 complete games, all right? A 1.87 ERA, that's what I'm saying, 300 strikeouts and 300 innings over a five-year period. And for that period, and for what I saw outside of Satchel Paige, Sandy Koufax was not the best. He was the absolute best. Continue with football real quick, gentlemen. Sea Wings, I got you here now. The Steelers 6-3, and Harold says they're going to be 6-4, especially with our man going. The Patriots are 6-3. Here's the question: Patriots 6-3, Seahawks are 6-4, Vikings are 6-4, Buccaneers 5-4, Saints 4-5. They're not dead. But looking at the Broncos, they're 6-3. Wow! Has Peyton Manning showed not only his back injury? There's some grumblings. There's some rumblings. There's some, as rumor has it, that right now, if they continue, they make the playoffs, Peyton Manning is the most valuable player in the league there, Cincinnati, see?
Thumbs down all the way, he's going to be the MVP. He's playing like the old Peyton Manning. He has set up his naysayers. The guy looks like he hasn't missed a step. He was a little rusty in a game or two, but this is the Peyton Manning, the Hall of Fame Peyton Manning. The guy is rolling out. He's running out of the pocket. He hasn't really been sacked too many times.
Why did the Colts not keep him, and why did everybody else sort of like pass on him?
Well, I knew the Jets couldn't get him because he never wanted to come to the Jets. That's why he went to play for the Tennessee Volunteers back in the when he was – playing for the Tennessee Titans, and he was going to be the number one overall pick, and he saw that Bill Parcells was going to try to bring him over to the Jets. He said, no way, Jose, I'm going straight back to play for the Tennessee Volunteers.
But why? Why would he not? He's the number one media market in the world. Purcell's one of the great coaches. The Jets were a good football team. What was this reserve and you know, resign not to come to the New York Jets?
I mean, I'm sure his father had some input into
really?
That.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, but here's amazing. Okay,
he didn't
want
to play in the same city as his brother either, Doc.
Okay, Rooney, point well taken. There you go, Rooney. Yeah, how come Eli can come and Peyton can't?
Well,
the
problem here is this, that the father, what was his name? Archie Manning in his career of football played for bum teams, and he didn't want his children, his offspring,
but neither team was a bum team. There was
huh?
a bum team, Dusty.
No, who was a bum team?
Neither team was a bum team. We're talking about New York City. New York City has put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame.
The Jets have done nothing since Joe Namath. It's still a bum team.
No, we had some good teams. You can't overlook the two games to the Super Bowl, and we had some good
pretenders.
Teams. Yeah, but still,
pretenders, man.
They've been a good team.
They
yeah.
never got anywhere. And
no,
this
I,
is
we,
why
we,
the
we,
father,
twice,
Manning,
2 years in a row,
what?
2 years in a row, we were one game away from the Super Bowl. We had some good teams. When we had Ted Pennington, I mean, I got to think, you know, if...
Doc, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Were you born here in New York City?
Yeah.
You were born in New York?
Yeah. Well, I was raised. I came in 3 months old. I'm 3 months old. Yeah, I'm in New York.
No. My point is, we don't worry about how many games. We worry about winning championships.
Exactly.
I understand. But, you know,
but like we said, the Jets has not won a Super Bowl since Joe Namath.
The only one.
Okay. 1969.
All right. And the point is, if you don't win a championship here in New York, I don't care how many games you won during the regular season. You could have won undefeated in the regular season. Doesn't
exactly.
matter.
Yeah, but here's my point.
No, that
Archie
is the
Man,
point.
I mean, Peyton
it's like,
Manning.
It's like, let me tell you, it's like Michael Jordan said when he was playing with the Chicago Bulls. They had this undefeated record going to the playoffs, mostly, okay? He said, it doesn't mean anything unless
exactly.
you win the championship.
Yeah, but the point I'm making here, if Peyton Manning comes here, maybe we go to the championship. Okay?
I don't think he would have
nah,
said
he didn't
no.
think we had a team.
Hold on.
No.
Was that Wings?
I don't think he would have fit into the system. I mean,
wow.
you look at the talent he had in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I mean, too, he played in a dome a lot, which is definitely advantageous in one aspect. But
why?
I mean, you don't have to deal with the harsh conditions when you're playing at home.
Bad weather.
Boys. It's a lot of advantages there. I mean, you look at the Saints. When they play in an adverse weather outside of that dome, they did pretty bad.
Exactly.
So you have some advantages there. I mean,
you know what Peyton has done, and you look at him on the sideline,
mm-hmm.
he's got the team so high that they
exactly.
are all playing above their own talent and what they did last year, too.
You know,
so
now,
that's
you know,
so different
know,
about this team.
Peyton is like the second coach. You
yeah,
see them instructing them, and if the dude dropped the ball and he had no reason dropping the ball, he will go after the dude and talk
That's
to
it.
Him. Peyton Manning, the guy that my worry of Peyton Manning is his 3 surgeries. Other than that, this might be not only MVP, but the comeback play of the year, and don't be surprised if they go to the soup. That's the way
All
they're
right.
playing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's the way they're playing. If you see him, I mean, you could forget watching the Jets or the Giants. Look at a Denver Bronco game in its entirety, and you'll see how this man.
So if you got a chance to watch the Denver Broncos and the Jets yeah. home game or the Giants home game, turn to the Denver game.
Exactly. And you'll see this. You'll see this mechanic. No,
that's
you,
just the watch Peyton Manning
yeah.
play. I'm mean, the guy.
You see this mechanic, man, maneuvering this team, and they've made some comebacks in the second half when they were losing
I mean,
in the first.
For my money, he's the best quarterback in pro football, and he's that because not only his talent, the because he's the only, one of the few guys, I don't think Brady even does it either. He calls his own play. Wings, you want to say something about Manning?
No, Manning, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but
sound like Dusty now.
He's the only he's the only guy, only quarterback that I've ever remembered since I've watched football on fourth down, and I guess it was four to go or whatever, four or five to go. The coach calls them off. He waves the coach off. The coach does the same thing, and this was under Tony Dungy,
under Tony Dungy.
Coach as well. I haven't seen not even Tom Brady do that. I never saw Brett Favre do that. It's this guy, I mean, I used to watch Peyton Manning. I'm such a big fan of him. Just to see how he reads the defense, his cadence he calls. I mean, most of the time it doesn't mean anything, but he throws the defense off so much at what he's saying.
A rumor is flying that the Jets may be ready to talk to bringing back Brett Favre.
Wow.
What are you doing? Well, what joke is this, Doc? What, are you playing with us now?
No, I don't know if you're joking, Doc, but 3 or 4 months ago, I heard that rumor that Brett Favre was thinking, and somebody reached out to him. How true it is, I dismissed it because I felt it was a joke.
I'm not laughing.
Well, but if you're saying that now, I mean, that is going from stupid to stupider to dumber and dumber and dumber.
Would they bring him back with that controversy with that girl and the text messages? And
yeah.
I mean,
you know what? Right now, you know, anything is better than Sanchez, and maybe that would help put some more people in the seats.
Hey, Doc,
by the way, what are you going to rumors that I got a hot one for you? I heard of this, and Harold, and Dustin appreciate this one, especially Harold, heard a boxing rumor too, Doc, that Bruce the Mouse Strauss is about to come back.
Who? Who was that?
Bruce the Mouse Strauss.
Rooney, this is a family show, and we can't have those kind of jokes on this show. Okay,
Bruce,
it's a family show.
Bruce,
as I get prepared to make that trek to St. Louis.
Okay, now we're going to be live this weekend. We're going to do a pregame show on Saturday from St. Louis, and then we're on our Sunday night show, Cincinnati C. We'll be Cincinnati C again. We'll be bringing, as it is right now, probably
another. Is he really going to make that 1,000-mile trek out there to see this New York Jets team? Hey, C, I'm not one to give advice, but do me a favor, take it in at a local pub, have a beer, and stay home.
Hey, Rooney, he's a professional, and listen, you know, sometimes you got to take the bitter with the sweet. You know what I mean?
The only reason I can complain to go see them, Doc, is to look at the stewardesses. That's about it, okay? I mean,
that's Daly. Brought to death on the Dustin Guard Radio Network. The Knicks have won again. The Nets have won again. And the question here right now is, when will the Jets ever win again?
Who said
well,
they are going to win again?
The next presidential election? Oh, I'm sorry, Doc. Before I go, I must say that with the Knicks being the only undefeated season, I'm starting to hear this around the New York City area again.
What's that?
Oh, don't forget, C, that Johnson said, and if you guys remember, don't forget that that Johnson, of the owner of the Jets, said that was more important that Mitt Romney win the president than it was for his team to do any kind of winning a football game. Don't forget he said that.
One thing for sure, it seems he's a man of his word, huh?
hey, Doc, we're starting to hear this theme around New York again.
What's that?
And with that, leave you guys, and hopefully I'll be flying back with a victory.
Man, okay. I tell you what, hey, I wonder what her name is going to be.
it won't be Nueva Jets.
Yeah, well, we hope so, too. I mean, the Jets are due to win a football game. They're due to beat the Rams. The question is it this Sunday? We just hope the most important. I just don't understand, for the life of me, before you go, for the life of me, why you can't put Tebow in a football game, that Sanchez is either having a horrible football game, the Jets are winning by a lot, that's been a long time ago, or the Jets are losing by a lot. I just don't understand this commitment. I don't understand this zeal. I don't understand this dedication to a quarterback that's not doing the job. And I don't understand Woody Johnson as the owner of the team, okay? Because if I own the team, I say, Rex, put him in the game, baby. So I'm wondering, if I'm the owner of the team.
This kid is going to come in the game, Tebow, Doc. And the team is going to have some juice with him.
Rudy,
and he's going to come in,
Rudy,
do a little something.
It's what,
and then
you said about, what you said about Rex as a coach. I own the team. Rex, you guess what? If you can't put him in the game, I can fire you and get another coach that will put him in the game. Okay?
No, Doc, but they're scared that he's going to come in the game, Tebow, move the team, look
who,
good doing
but who's scared?
And then they're stuck with Alexander on the bench
do
at $10 million a year, and nobody wants him at $10 million a year. That's what their fear is.
Tebow's
going to come and look good, and then they're stuck with having an unmovable Sanchez for the next two years.
What everybody just said, he's not because, I mean, as the owner of the team, hey, it's just like Jerry Jones. Jerry told Tony Romo, whoa, we don't do no contract extension until I see what kind of production you're giving me. And if I'm owner of the team, I say, you play. I'm paying you, and I'm paying him, and you play him. But, I mean, at this point, it's not even the fact about the owner of the team. It's trying, I mean, have we don't even want to win football games? I mean, who is, like Mark Sanchez, happy birthday, Mark Sanchez, but who, I mean, just like, here's a guy that won't listen to Joe Namath. Right then and there, I got to say, I wouldn't give him a contract. You don't listen to Joe Namath? Here's Willie Mays. Hey, Willie, you can't tell me what to do. It's how's where. It's sad and touching. I mean,
well, do you want Roger Vick? Because they're going to cut him at the end of the year. Do you want Roger?
Listen, gentlemen, in the Sports and Deaf Nation, I will talk to you guys live from St. Louis, the gateway to the West, and hopefully we cross our fingers and they can get some sort of win. No ties. We can't take a tie.
Listen, anything that's not an L, the Jets can take. We're going to talk to you on Saturday in the pregame show, and then we'll talk to you again on Sunday night. Cincinnati Sea Wings today, Rough Rider Raymond's. Have a safe trip, and we'll talk to you on Saturday on our pregame show.
Can't wait for that report.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Fellas, I'm out of here. I just saying.
Sea Wings is leaving us, and we hope he has a safe trip. Well, gentlemen, we talked about a lot of things here. The Knicks have won again. The Nets have won again.
Fellas, I got to get ready to go. Got to hit that early. So,
okay.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, buddy. What we're going to do, we're going to let Mel Cosell, Sure Shot, say goodnight, and we'll close out with my favorite First Noel rendition of a Christmas song done by the great Howard Hewitt. Rooney, tell everybody goodnight.
Doc, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The Strongest Surge the Drink has been here. And that's been the great Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. And with that, Larry Hart.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports In Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Now, Dusty, could you say goodnight in Spanish real quick for us?
Buenas noches todos, hermanos, and los vemos el sábado.
Hey, you can't beat it. English and Espanol and music. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Live your life today as they shall stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is when you pay for your space on earth. Black Stanley and the Posse, trust in God.
And then